You're listening to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs on Sirius XM 131. I'm David Jay with my friend Pastor Jack and producer Cindy in studio with us. Thank you, producer Cindy, for sitting in for producer Steve. Pastor Jack, I know you. I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
I know you're a decent guy. I know you're a sensitive guy. I know you would never intentionally hurt another human being on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
But, I shouldn't say but, I'm going to say and, you got to bring the truth to people.
Mm.
And we're bringing the truth. We're in a lesson right now called What is Unnatural Sexuality? Now, a lot of feathers are going to get ruffled just from that title, Pastor Jack.
Yeah.
And that's not our intention.
No. Let me respond this way. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." When we bring up the topic that we're about to bring up, we need to understand that the statistics, for example, the community that practices what is unnatural, many of them do so because they've been abused, they've been mistreated, they've been hurt terribly. And listen, God loves you. If that's you, God loves you. You are no way outside of the forgiving grace and the transformative power of Jesus. None of us are if we're listening.
Yeah.
But when we have the truth, it causes us to be firm, confident, and passionate about that truth. That's why the Bible tells us that we need to speak the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us as personalities, we have our personalities, all of us. We need to present before the personality and present before the truth, love.
Mm-hmm.
God loves you. He loves you and I so much that he would not leave you and I in the condition that we're in.
Right.
He gave us Jesus. And faith, true faith in Christ converts the soul, changes the soul, transforms our lives.
Right.
And we don't make excuses anymore for what we have been all of our lives. We wind up giving what we've been all of our lives over to the power of God. Now, look, homosexuality was not my temptation, was not my previous lifestyle, but I did have my previous lifestyle. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but God washed me of it. Mm-hmm. And that truth of Christ set me free. Now, Davey, in all honesty, there's going to be some people that are upset or they get angry because we are suggesting that there's a need for change. And yet, not only is there a need for change, so says the Bible. Remember, Jesus did not come to make bad men good.
Mm.
Jesus actually came to make dead men live. We are dead in our sins.
Yeah.
And as long as we defend our position, we remain dead. But the moment we give our situation to Christ, that's when we begin to live. And that is the truth in love. That's what we want people to hear today, is that truth is unwavering and uncompromising, but it's delivered in love. That's why we open up this teaching today with, frankly, a prayer.
Let's do just that. Title of the message, What is Unnatural Sexuality? Part of our Worldview series. And this is Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs on Sirius XM 131.
Father, we ask tonight as we get into this topic, I've been reminded, Lord, all week that it's just something that is not spoken about in churches, and maybe that's a problem. It certainly doesn't aid church growth. It's not going to add numbers to the church. If we were interested in that, I guess that would be a problem. But Lord, you are interested in your body, your church being strong and healthy and loving. And Lord, when we pray loving, we mean, Lord, we ask your definition of love, not ours and not the world's. Lord, teach us how to love a culture that is lost, to reach out to a culture that does not want to hear the word sin, does not want to hear the word change, or doesn't want to hear the word God or the Bible. And it's easy for the world to write off Jesus as some dusty character of antiquity, but that's impossible. It's impossible for infinite reasons. Lord, we pray that you'd manifest your presence here tonight. And Lord, I pray personally that you would just touch my lips that I might be able to communicate these sensitive things in the love of God and yet not compromise the truth one bit. So, Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us. And we ask you now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We'll grab your Bibles then and turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 17, which has been our theme portion of Scripture in this series on the worldview development, the worldview series. Every one of us as human beings have a worldview. That is how we view things. Doesn't matter this morning. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. Doesn't matter what political persuasion you might be or your upbringing financially, what country you're from. You have a worldview. It's how you conclude things. It's how you reason in your mind. Everything about your logic, your reasoning comes to a conclusion, and that conclusion, knowingly or unknowingly in your life, is based upon your worldview. And contributing factors to your worldview would be, for example, your exposure to the Bible or not, how you were brought up, that world that conditioned you by what was spoken to you, by what was placed into you, worldview. Everyone operates and leads their life after a worldview. But as Christians tonight, we are studying our biblical worldview. As believers, we are to be thinking and living and breathing and conducting our lives in line with Scripture. That's why we have what's called a biblical worldview. We are not shy to announce that the Bible filters our opinions. Somebody might say, that's brainwashing. And I would say, amen, bring it on, grab more soap. Because we do need our brains to be washed from all the filth and all the garb that we've had instilled within our way of thinking all of our lives. It's an important thing. So tonight we look at part three of this, and the final part, I might add, of this part of our worldview series, and that is regarding sexuality. And we've looked at these things thus far. We looked at what is our sexuality in part one, and we laid the foundation of that regarding what the Bible has to say about sexuality. You know, a lot of non-Christians think that sexuality is something that a Christian or the Bible never addresses. And I find that quite hilarious because sexuality is actually defined by the God of the Bible. It's defined in Genesis chapter 1, and we'll look at that in a moment. Well, some people will say, and I had somebody tell me this, you Christians, I could never live the life you live because you can only have sex when you want to have children. I had somebody tell me that Christians can only have sex when they're going to produce a child. And if you don't plan on having a kid, you can't have sex. And then when I look at my Bible, my Bible says that my God invented that, sex. And so, where does the world come up with these ideas? In fact, the Bible says for a Christian husband and wife that they should be frequent together and should only pause in agreement for fasting and prayer, but then quickly come back together lest Satan tempt them. And all God's people said, amen. Come on now. I'm very disappointed in you. I thought I was going to get a big amen out of that, but the next thing, part two, that we looked at last time is what is natural sexuality? And we started out defining what is natural sexuality based upon Scripture and based upon science and based upon sociology and what God has done over the millennia of cultures in the world. God has a plan, and there is a natural plan to God's design for sexuality among humans. And then tonight, we pick up where we left off at the latter end of our previous teaching. And this is probably the most volatile topic of all because you cannot bring this up without generating an attack. It's constantly in our news. It's constantly being discussed. But if you dare to disagree with what the trend is in our modern culture, you are going to be labeled. And our title tonight is What is Unnatural Sexuality? What is our sexuality? We've looked at that. What is natural sexuality? And tonight, what is unnatural sexuality? It all comes out of Acts chapter 17. You can read that chapter, and you ought to read that chapter in its totality. I will paraphrase for now because we've covered it in earlier studies, but focus on verse 28. When Paul the Apostle came as an advance team, as it were, to Athens, Greece. He was waiting for the rest of his ministry entourage to arrive. And while he was in Athens, he did what everybody, what you would do, what I've had a chance to do when in Athens, is you would go up that region of Mars Hill. And you would ascend up those now archaeological protected areas, because this very part of Acts 17 has been unearthed. You can walk this region, this area, and all along that avenue, that agora, they had these great pedestals of all the great Greek gods. And the Athenians were very, very religious people. And you could make offerings, you could present acts of worship at these locations. And there was one pedestal that said, "To the unknown God." The Greeks did not want to leave a god out, and so they didn't want to offend any of the gods, so they made one to cover all their bases. They were pantheistic, that's what that means. They just worshipped everything to cover everything, so that they made everything happy. Didn't want to offend any god, and they had this one to the unknown god. And Paul, in his evangelistic genius and his apologetic mind, he saw that, and he said to the Athenians, "This is the God I want to talk to you about. You've got a pedestal with a label to him, to the unknown God. I want to talk to you." And that was a great declaration, by the way, by Paul, because he was truly unknown to the Greeks by their theology. But Paul argued that he was very well known to them by creation. They didn't know it. They didn't realize that. But all of the creative design of the universe, Paul stresses to them that it is this God in whom we live and move and have our being. Paul attributed your very existence, the Athenians' existence, to this God that they didn't know. And it was a tremendous argument. Acts chapter 17, verse 28, he announces this tremendous statement. He says, "For in him, that is Yahweh, the God of the Bible, we live and move and have our being." And in that trinity of declaration, we live, we move, we have our being, is the totality of who you are. That God is the one in whom you live. If you believe in him tonight or not, it doesn't matter. It does matter in the end. You ought to change your mind to believe in him. But what I'm arguing right now is you don't have to believe in him to enjoy his benefits. You live by virtue of him. You know the air you're breathing in right now and the oxygenation of your blood cells through your lung tissue? That's God. That's him at work. The natural universe is obeying his command. And then he says, he makes that tremendous addition, in whom you move, that all of your issues of life, your passion, your emotions, your thought life, your very existence is all wrapped up in him. And you have your being. That is your, listen, this is amazing. Being is your personal individuality. Did you know that? Did you know that our God made you an individual person for a reason? One of them is he is a personal savior. God doesn't save, though he could have, in some wholesale manner. Though Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the entire world in his payment for sin, the amazing thing is, by the Holy Spirit, he comes and he reaches out to each and every individual. Please listen. You're going to need to remember this, as your emotions will rise during this message. You're going to have a tendency to be angry at me tonight. It's going to bother you tonight. I want you to remember something. We worship a personal Savior, and he loves you personally. And while you're yet breathing, remember this. There is no sin that you could have committed while you are yet breathing that would somehow exempt you out of his salvation. If you don't know Christ tonight, his mercy reaches out to you and he says, "I'll forgive you of anything. I'll forgive you of everything if you'll just come to me, if you just trust in what I did at the cross." So tonight, remember that. The Bible tells us, as we lay this down and get ready to jump into this, it's important that you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. We've been hitting it on the last 3 weeks. We do it again. "Then God said, let us make man in our image." Question, who in the world is God talking to? He's talking to himself. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the triunity of God. Let us make man in our image. You and I were not created in the image of angels. Isn't that amazing? You might say, well, maybe he was talking to the angels. No, nope. You, tonight, are a living, breathing creature created in the image of God. Angels have never been. They never will be created in the image of God. Let's go on. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Don't answer this question, but how do you fulfill that verse? How do you fulfill verse 28 in God's design? God says, I have made man in my image, my moral likeness. And in the creation of him, meaning mankind, all of us in this room from one end of this sanctuary to the other, we represent mankind. In mankind, the species, he has made male and female. Why? So that we might fulfill verse 8, that we might be fruitful and multiply. Don't answer this question, but how does a human being or the human species propagate and exist and survive? How does that happen without being fruitful and multiplying? That is a very simple question about God's design. As we look at this topic tonight, we need to understand that those who have been victims of unnatural sexuality have had that thrust upon them in many cases, and the statistics are terrible. They're overwhelming and they're increasing in our culture. Did you know that? Those who have been victims of unnatural sexuality, be it a child abuse, be it rape, sodomy, or other types of things. The Bible gives a grand list of what is unnatural sexuality. The Bible says that, and it makes it very clear that there are those who are victims of these things. And we'll talk a little bit about that tonight, but there are those who are the perpetrators of such things. Did you know that, and I don't know how it is in our America today, I honestly don't know. But there was a time in America since our founding when the pilgrims came in 1602 and onward and the wave of pilgrims coming. Did you know that based upon the Bible, which was the foundation for our laws here in this country, beginning with the Mayflower Compact, did you know that if somebody raped someone that you were put to death for rape? Did you know that? Did you know where they got that idea from? The Bible. The Bible views sexual relationship between another person as a highly valuable and spiritual event. The Bible refers to this many times, both in the Old and the New Testament. But when somebody was violated in the way of rape, the Bible and the culture, our founding fathers, and again, I don't know if it's punishable by death anymore in this state or not. I don't know. But there was a time in this America where rape was such a violent crime that the perpetrator was put to death. It's only in more recent times when people say, well, that's a little harsh. More on that later. But we need to understand that unnatural sexuality is nothing new in human culture. It happens. There are pagan religious practices that endorse it. For those of you who have been in the areas of the South Pacific, even the Hawaiian Islands, specifically Molokai, Vanuatu, islands like that, there are pagan gods who require very strange offerings, mostly by children being offered up in a very, very perverse manner. It's ancient. It comes out of ancient Babylon. Recorded over 5,000 years ago. Solomon was truly right when he said there's nothing new under the sun. But listen to this. As we get into this tonight, it is going to be impossible for me to hit on everything in the time frame that we have. So forgive me in advance for that. But understand this when it comes to those who are victims. Listen to what Jesus said. In Luke chapter 17, verse 1, then Jesus said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung about his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Jesus is saying, regarding the offending of a defenseless person, Jesus said that in the day of judgment, when you put the Gospels together, Jesus said that when that person who's abused a child, especially in the area of our context of unnatural sexuality, a person who has abused a child in this manner, and I'm sure in other ways, Jesus said, when he stands before God, it will have been better for that person to have had a millstone. Millstone weigh anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 pounds. Jesus said it would have been better for him to have that tied around his neck and cast into the depths of the sea. Why is that? Because God takes this stuff seriously. And my heart breaks as your heart breaks because our culture does not take it seriously. And we live in a tremendous age. And why are we talking about these things in a worldview series? Because so many people are having to deal with this in their life. And God knows and God cares and God can forgive even the worst perpetrator if they repent. And God can heal the person who's experienced the worst of being a victim. There is nothing that's been done to you, and there's nothing that you've yet done that without coming to Christ and asking him for forgiveness, he can forgive. Think of that. It's vitally important. One more verse before we dive into this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible warns us as Christians not to love the things of this world. If anyone loves the things or loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Divided love, divided heart. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That is a verse, listen, that is a verse as Christians that we repeatedly go to. We repeatedly go to this verse to get strength. Why? Because you and I live in this world. And are you not tempted? Temptations come. This is a great verse to run to. When the world comes down upon your neck and dangles everything in front of you and tempts you, you run to this verse and you say, Lord, give me strength. The Bible says that I'm not to love the things of the world. So Lord, I'm being tempted right now. Strengthen me. That's the life of the true Christian who's involved, listen, in a spiritual war. Are you being tempted? The Bible tells us that sin shall not have dominion over us as believers. We've got the power now of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're not a Christian today, you don't have any power to resist. The Bible says that you're on your own. You're out from the covering of God and you're alienated from God. And let's be honest, when you're in the world, you hope you get tempted. That's what you're living for in the world. And then Christ comes into your life and your whole thinking changes and a light comes on. I received a note from a friend of mine who owns a broadcast company, and it came out of the association, I forget what it's called, but it's something like the Association of Broadcasting in England. And it just came out last week. And there's an argument going on at one of the conferences, and they were saying that Christianity needs to be curtailed because it cannot prove what it declares in the conversion of people. It claims that people can be converted and changed. But they said that can't be proven. And my buddy was telling me about this, and I said, are you kidding me? I can bear testimony of myself. But when you go to bear testimony of yourself, they exclude it because you being a Christian, we don't know if it's true or not. So they're trying to negate your witness, your testimony.
And this is Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs on Sirius XM 131. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new real-life TV program every Friday morning? You know, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So go check that out at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Every Friday morning, a brand new real-life TV program. It's available right there at our website. You could use our app to get there if you'd like, or go to YouTube and subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. That's every Friday morning, a brand new real-life TV program. Go check that out at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay for Pastor Jack. We'll see you next time. In the meantime, Tell someone you love that you listen to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs on Sirius XM 131.